The Bible is the Word of God.
Amen.
All right, because this is what it says here, Hosea chapter 1. And the word of the Lord that came unto Hosea, the son of Beeri, in the days of Uzziah, and I'll go, it says, in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, it says, kings of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash. Just letting you know what time frame this took place. These names, you can look back and you can find them and understand that it's that same time frame that Hosea is doing this. The beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea. And the Lord said to Hosea, go take unto thee a wife of whoredoms and children of whoredoms, for the land hath committed great whoredom departing from the Lord. Now, do you believe when he said this, he told the Lord, so here's a young person, they're praying about who do I marry? And the Lord says, the person where I want you to go pick out your wife, I want you to go into the part of the town where people are not living right. And I want you to go into that area and I want you to pick out a wife. And I want you to not necessarily pick one that's got a good testimony. I want you to pick out, a wife of whoredoms. And if you'll look there, it says, and who was a children of whoredoms. Not only was her life not right, but she grew up and had a history of that with her mom and her mom and her mom. It wasn't a godly heritage. It was a pagan heritage. And God told Hosea, I want you to go and I want you to find that type of lady and I want you to marry that type of lady. A lady that's got all kinds of baggage, a lady that's got all kinds of problems, a lady whose family has all kinds of problems and all kinds of issues. I want you to go into that community and I want you to ask that young lady to marry you and I want you to have her as your wife. That's what God asked him to do. Now, some people in their mind believe, well, this is a metaphor. It really didn't happen. It did because when they got married, they had children. And as they begin to have children, it says, so he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Dibliam, which conceived and bare a son. And the Lord said unto him, call his name Jezreel, for yet a little while, and I will avenge the blood of Jezreel upon the house of Jehu and will cause to cease the kingdom of the house of Israel. And it shall come to pass at that day I will break the bow of Israel in the valley of Jezreel. Well, so God said, I want you to do this, and I want you to marry this woman, and then I want you to have kids. And then when they have children, I want you to name them these specific names. Because as you name them these names, here's what it's going to mean, because through you, I am going to preach a message to all of Israel. I want them to know this is how I feel. So he goes on and he has that son down to verse 6. And she conceived again and bare a daughter. And God said unto him, call her Loruhamah, or however you say that. For I will no more have mercy upon the house of Israel, but I will utterly take them away. But I will have mercy upon the house of Judah and will save them by the Lord their God and will not save them by bow nor by sword nor by battle by horses nor by horsemen. It says, I will have mercy on Judah and I'm going to save them by the word of the Lord. And I just think that's an interesting thought there, verse 7. But I will have mercy upon the house of Judah and will save them by the Lord their God and will not save them by bow. He's saying, if there's any help for them, it's going to be for me. I want you to look here in verse 6 where it said that I will have no more mercy upon the house of Israel. He's saying, okay, I want you to name this child this name, and I want you to understand here's what it means. When you think of this child's name, I want you to understand I'm not going to have any mercy on Israel anymore because of their dealings. I am going to have mercy on Judah, and I'm going to allow them to have a space where they can repent, and I'm going to be the one to help them because I'm the only one that can help them. It's not going to be through a battle. And it goes on, and it keeps going. It says, now, when she had weaned Loruhamah, she conceived and bare a son, and then said, God, call his name Lo-Ami, for ye are not my people, and I will not be your God. So he's saying, all right, this next child, I'm going to have you name him this. He says, he's giving a message here. He's saying, for ye are not my people, and I will not be your God. It's not that God had changed his mind about how he felt about them. They changed his mind about how they felt about him. He hadn't moved. They moved. And he's saying, because of your actions, This is what I'm going to do. Every child he had, every name there was for a purpose. He wanted Israel to know that what they were doing is hurting him. That what they were doing was making the God of heaven. He went in there. He came alongside the children of Israel. He kept his covenant, and they want nothing to do with him at all. And he's saying, this is what it looks like. Because you understand, you and I, we're the daughter of whoredoms. Because we are sinners, whether you're 9 years old or 10 years old or 12 years old in this room or 90 years old, when you came to the Lord, that's who you were. Jesus, God said, listen, I'm going to give you a bride, and here's what she looks like. This is your bride. The one at the marriage supper of the Lamb, we're going to be the guests there. And when God said, listen, you go down there and you get your bride. These are the people I'm going to give to you. This is who I was. This is who you are. We are sinners. Okay? We have done things and lived in such a way. I mean, we were dead in our trespasses of sin. And if you don't understand why God would tell Hosea there to go marry a Gomer, then you have a hard time understanding why God would tell Jesus to go down to earth and to die for those people so they can be a part of our family forever, because it's the same person. And that's what he was saying. It's the same person. We're Gomer. Okay? We're the ones that did not deserve the husband that we got. We did not deserve the love that he gave us. We did not deserve what he did on the cross for us. And what he's telling these people is he did that for Israel, and they walked away from him. And he's saying there's coming a time when I'm not going to have this patience with you anymore, where you've hurt me, you've walked away from me, you've chosen other gods, you said you didn't want me anymore. And that's why he said on this child, this is what their name's going to be, and this is what it means. It says, then said God, call his name Lo Ammi, for ye are not my people, and I will not be your God. Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the seas, which cannot be measured nor numbered. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, that there it shall be said unto them, ye are the sons of the living God. I want you to go down to verse chapter 2 and verse 1. Say ye unto the brethren, am I, and to your sister Ruamah, plead with your mother, plead, for she is not my wife, neither am I her husband. Let her therefore put away her whoredoms out of her sight and her adulteries from between her breasts, lest I strip her naked and set her as in the day that she was born, and make her as a wilderness, and set her like a dry land, and slay her with thirst. And I will not have mercy upon her children, for they be the children of whoredoms. He's saying, listen, plead with your mother. Plead with her and say, am I her husband? Let her therefore put away her whoredoms. God's saying, listen, don't do this. Don't act like this. Don't put me in a position where I have got to do this to you. I don't want to do that, but you can't act like this. And he goes on, and what you're seeing when you read this, you're seeing the heart of God. Listen to the way he uses these words. It says, plead with your mother, for she is not my wife, neither am I her husband. Let her therefore put away her whoredoms out of her sight and her adulteries from between her breasts. He's talking about a physical relationship, and he's saying that what this lady was doing to her husband is the very same thing that I do to the Lord every day. And when you go through and you read all of this, it takes you down to chapter 3. And it, you know, you can read chapter 2 at another time, what happens after he marries her. I want you to go to Hosea chapter 3 and verse 1. Then said the Lord unto me, go yet love a woman, beloved of her friend, yet an adulteress, according to the love of the Lord toward the children of Israel, who look to other gods and love flagons of wine. So I bought her to me for 15 pieces of silver, and for a omer of barley, and a half omer of barley. And I said unto her, thou shalt abide for me many days. Thou shalt not play the harlot, and thou shalt not be for another man. So I will also be for thee. So in chapter 2, after they have these children, Gomer ends up getting back into the same lifestyle in which she came out of. And when that happened, she left her husband. And she went back to the neighborhood where she was born, to the thing that she knew, and she began to live the life of a whoredom again. And then God told Hosea, who's a man. And he said, Hosea, why don't you go back down there again? And Hosea says, you mean down to where my wife grew up? Yes. But God, you know what she's doing right now. You know how she's living. And God said, yes, Hosea, I want you to go down there, and I want you to bring your wife home. And Hosea says, but the problem is she's not going to be free, because she sold herself into whoredom. I'm going to have to buy her back. And God said, well, then you go buy her back. Do you understand? As he went to where she was, and here she is, she's disgraced herself, she's half naked, she's living a life of immorality, and she looks up, and there's Hosea, and she wonders, what are you doing here? And here's what he tells her: I'm here to take you home. She says, I can't go home. I don't belong to you anymore. And then he says, well, I'm going to pay whatever it takes to take you home today. Amen. And that day he goes up and he actually buys back what used to belong to him anyway, and he brings her home. And he sets her aside. And if you notice the words, he said, you're going to be for me a wife and I'm going to be to you a husband. Greg, he was willing to put away everything that she did and love her as though that didn't happen. And when you wonder why in the world God would put that kind of story in the Bible, it's because he wanted me to see firsthand of his relationship with me. Amen. Do you understand that for us to be a part of God's family, that God had to buy me back off the auction block of sin? Amen. And may I tell you something? Here's something, young people, I don't want you to ever forget. No matter how far the world takes an individual, no matter how far sin gets a hold of you, and it can get a hold of you. When somebody says sin will take you further than you want to go, every adult in this room can get up and tell you about the pain associated with wrong decisions when it comes to sin. And sin is not free. The fun that's associated is with not free. It makes me sick to my stomach to see people who grew up in church. If it wasn't for the fact that I've actually seen this happen, I've lived long enough, I've been in the ministry 28 years, I've seen kids grow up in junior church that don't want anything in the world to do with God today, that are living so opposite of what they were taught, but they sang the same songs that you sang just a few minutes ago, if you're happy and you know it, say amen, or the things that they learned all the same Bible stories that you learned, they've sat in church services, and now they're living so contrary to the Word of God, their life's a mess, it's falling apart all around them, and here's why. Why would you do that? Why would Gomer do that to Hosea? Anybody liking Gomer right now? Why would she do that to such a good man? Well, the question is, why would I do that to the Lord because I'm Gomer? Why would I do that to him? Why would I make him come looking for me? Why would I make him go down to the very pit he took me out of and bring me home, vomiting on myself with the things of this world, clean me up, put me back where I was, and love me? Why would he do that over and over and over again? That's the reason why he told Hosea. He wasn't being heartless when he said, I want you to marry this kind of woman. He was saying, Hosea, if you'll let me, through the pain that you're suffering, I want to show the whole world how I feel about them. I want them to understand that I love them. I want them to understand that I know where they came from, and I'll forgive them. And I even want them to know that even when they are a part of my family and they leave, I'll go get them again. But I want them to understand that it hurts me, that it is hard. Do you think God wanted to feel like this about his people? No. The reason why he's even doing this to begin with is he's hoping as judgment begins to fall on them. Because look, if you look here to, verse 5 in chapter 2. For their mother has played the harlot. She has conceived them hath done shamefully, for she said, I will go after many lovers that give me my bread and my water and my wool and my flax and my oil and my drink. Therefore, behold, I will hedge up the way with thorns and will make a wall that she shall not find her path. And she shall follow after her lovers, but she shall not overtake them. And she shall seek them, but shall not find them. Then shall she say, I will go and return to my first husband. For then was it better with me than now. For she did not know. Look at verse 8. Here's what we're guilty of. For she did not know that I gave her corn and wine and oil and multiplied her silver and gold, which they had prepared for Baal. He's saying, what she did is she left me and she went to these other lovers thinking she could get what she needed. Christians every day leave the safety of the Word of God, the morality that's in the Bible, the holiness in the Bible. We all forsake that from time to time, and we go out to the beggarly things of this world thinking that for some reason it has something for me. I've heard this week from young people that grew up in church way out in the world now, and you know what they tell me? They say, listen, for whatever reason, I just thought I was missing something. I just thought that everybody told me it was bad here, but it really wasn't that bad, that there was something out there, and I went out there and I found that I don't want that. But now they're coming home and it's got all kinds of baggage associated with it. And here's what God was telling. He was saying, listen, she left and then she didn't get what she wanted. And she said, I'm going to go back to my first husband. And God said, she forgot that I always gave her what she needed. That I gave her the very same things that she wanted, but she did not acknowledge that it came from me. Guys, listen, if anything can make you more happy than living for God 100%, then He is not God, and heaven's not heaven, and there's no need for me to go there. Either He's everything or He's not. That's all there is to it. Either true fulfillment is in the life led for Jesus Christ, or it's not. We can't have it both ways. Either He is everything to me. I just realized his shoes and tie. Either He is everything to me or He's not. And He was telling them, He was saying, here's what, she's going to do this, and then she's going to realize this whole entire time. Verse 8, for she did not know that I gave her corn and wine and oil and multiplied her silver and gold. Why would we give up? Why is the devil can so easily come to us and get us to walk away from the love of God and what He did on Calvary? Why would we set that aside and go out to the very elements we know that He died for? We know that He's against and He hates. Why would we spend any time over here at all? Why do we do that? You know, why do we leave the safety? Listen, when you're walking with God, has God, when you're in that spot and you're living right, has God ever let you down, Bo, when you're living right for Him? When you're walking with Him every day, has He ever neglected you? Has He ever given you less than what you needed? Why would we ever walk away from that? And all He wants us is He wants us to witness the pain here. And I'm going to close with this, okay? So He wants us to be a first-hand seat to this. Then said the Lord unto me, go yet, love a woman, beloved of her friend, yet an adulteress, according to the love of the Lord, toward the children of Israel. He's saying, as you do this, this is how I feel back Israel. He said, even though I want to wipe them off the face of the earth, I made them a promise, I'm not going to go back on that. As you go get Gomer, I'm going to go get Israel. I'm not going to give up on her. I'm not going to leave her. As you stand at that auction block and you buy your wife back that already belonged to you, I'm going to go to the auction block of the world, and my son is going to be on that auction block, and I'm going to buy the world back to me so that they can be with me forever. And can you imagine, you know, he's standing there and he's having to ask somebody, how much does it cost for me to be able to go home with my wife? And they said, well, here is the price you have to pay because she belongs to me now. And he said, okay, I will pay that price. So he gives the silver and gold, and then they undo her chains. She's dirty. Her clothes are torn. Her hair isn't brushed. It's all a matted mess. She looks terrible. And Gomer goes home. That's his prize. That's what he bought. And if you looked at him and you said, "You did what? Why'd you buy her? Look at her. She's just a mess." Well, the day that you forget that, that's the day that we are capable of anything. And you don't have to be a pastor to appreciate the fact that Jesus Christ bought you at a price, and you're Gomer. You don't have to be a Bible theologian to understand that's why he had this man do this in real time, in real life, because as he walked away and he put his arm around a beaten up prostitute and took her home and cleaned her up and loved on her, that's what he did to me. And the day that you forget that, and now listen, guys, you don't have to do what I did to understand that. You don't have to get up and give some dark testimony about this is what I used to do, this is what I used to be, these are the things like that. You don't have to do that to appreciate this story. You can look at this story and you can appreciate that that's all of us, and you do not have to go into the depths of sin to appreciate the fact that he bought you back, so you don't have to experience that stuff. That's why he did it. Every child in this room that's brought up under the preaching of the Word of God, that's a gift God gave you. So you don't have to go and learn the hard way. You don't have to experience the pain and the hurt of going down these roads. And if he's wrong and you can succeed and you can find happiness by playing around in the pigsty of this world, then the whole thing's wrong. Why do we want to wallow over here and get some cheap thrill that doesn't last? And there's always a price to pay. Ron, you grew up hearing messages that sin has a price to pay. You ever heard that message when you were a kid? Okay. Alan, you ever heard that message when you were a kid? Wendell, you ever heard that message when you were a kid? You know what? It's funny, here I am saying the same thing they heard when they were a kid, and guess what? I heard it when I was a kid too. But I didn't listen. So today, there's words that you guys use that's common today. Instead of the word "this stinks," you guys say another word. And I know in your day and age, it's not a big deal. People say it all the time. But do you know why when somebody says that to me, do you know why it's a little bit harder for me than it is for you? I didn't grow up in your generation. So if you walked into a bathroom at my age and you listened to the language that was going on, that word would be used in a very negative way. And I wish that I had the innocency of some of you guys that maybe don't understand the origins of where that word goes, and when somebody my age hears it, what goes through their mind. Well, let me tell you something. The reason why I don't have that innocency anymore, I sold that long time ago. Am I the only one in this room that what's an innocent word to somebody else, when I hear it, I got to fight my mind back to a good place again? Am I the only one that's got to do that? Am I the only one that's got to walk away and say, "Man, I just wish I didn't know the meaning of that. I wish I could be like Stephen and Tiny and something go right over their head." You listen to a movie and you realize what just said was filthy, nasty. They don't know what it means. They didn't catch it. Do you know why they didn't catch it? Haven't done what I did yet. And I don't want them to do it. And the best thing I can do is just show you this story. That if there's anything I can put in front of you that ought to get you to the point where you will be so careful with how you live, is this story right here. Appreciate the story of this man going to an auction block and getting his wife back out of the same garbage he got her from the first time and bring her home. And tell the Lord, the best of my ability, you're not going to have to do that. That's all. Just sit down with him and tell him, the best of my ability, you're not going to have to go buy me back from grace again and again. I want to appreciate that's where you got me from the first time, and I don't want to go back there. And you can look at that story. You can look at the hurt. Do you think Hosea was all smiley, happy that day, and You don't think he cried as he saw his wife standing there? You don't think he cried? You don't think he wiped a tear out of his face and was ashamed? Everybody talking about him, what's he doing here? And he just wants to take his wife home. You know, God's had to get me out of the filth of this world since he saved me more than once. And I wish that wasn't the case. And I look at you guys, and I look at your future, and I don't want you to hurt like that. And the only thing I can tell you is if you'll just look at this story, go home and read it, and the quietness of your own room, and think about how painful that must have been for him, and understand that's what he did for you. And appreciate that, and live for him every day. And when the devil comes along and you tell him, I am not going to allow you to do that to the one that loves me. And I'm not going to give in to what you're saying, because all these things that came in today, all these things, they courted her and they told her this, I'll do this for you and I'll do that for you. You know where it left them? Naked and alone. And sin will do that to you every time. Every single time. Without fail. The moment you begin to flirt with that line, the moment you give up one brick in that wall, the moment you give in to one thought or to one lust or to let your standard or your guard down in one simple area, the very next thing you know, you are in so deep you can't swim, and he's got to come get you again. And if we value what he did, we ought to look at this story and we ought to hold on to it. And I mean, listen to what he says here. He says, so I bought her to me for 15 pieces of silver. Something that was already his. I mean, now that I'm saved, God should not have to go back to the same mess he got me from and bring me home. But over the years, that's what sin will do that to you. It's a very sad chapter. And the reason why God would ask Hosea to do that is he said, maybe if they see you cry, maybe if they'll see you sad for your wife, they don't know what God looks like or what it's like at the throne and how I grieve my people that I made, how it makes me sick to watch them hurt because of sin and watch something beautiful I made get so dirty. Maybe they can see in you how I feel. Maybe they can appreciate the love that I have for them through this little story. So, teenagers, don't forget Gomer. Now, unfortunately, I wish that that was a magic button for all of us. But I too sat in church my whole life and heard that. I don't know how to make a person understand the pain. I can just tell you this. Week after week, without fail, I hear another disaster. And the stories, they get darker and darker and darker. And God's people get further and further. And when I thought that I've heard everything possibly that a Christian can get involved in, then there's the next story. And these are all people that grew up in church, that had the opportunity to do right, and somehow got lost again. Not from their salvation, but from what's important to them. And then I have to stand on the end of the phone and say, listen, no matter how deep you're in, God will come get you. God will bring you home again. I'm personally tired of doing that. I'd rather not see the pain anymore. I'd rather you just look at me and go, I don't want to do that. That sounds terrible. And just hold on to Jesus for all you got. Guys, you can't be careful enough. You cannot live clean enough. You cannot stay close enough to God. You cannot be careful enough. I mean, people, I don't know where we got in this world today to think that, you know, they make fun of people that are conservative. Listen, you can't be conservative enough in this rotten world. Do you understand how many snares and pitfalls? There's a roaring lion out there. There's principalities. The Bible says, I wrestle against principalities and rulers of darkness. What am I doing fighting rulers of darkness? When I can't fight rulers of darkness? How am I going to go against some supernatural being that hates God and wants to destroy me along the way? I can't do that. I got to hold on to Jesus. I got to grab a hold of him. I can't be caught out here by myself, because guess what? I'm going to go down like that. So I wonder tonight if we can just hold on to this story of Gomer, not forget what Hosea did for her, and understand you're Gomer. He will come get you, no matter where your choices take you. But why would we want to do that to him? Because all along, every good thing he's ever made has come from him anyway. Why would I allow myself to be so blinded to think that the gods of this world could take care of me the way he does? They can't, and they never will. He's always been everything that I need. And we will all come to that realization. It just depends on what you have to pay to wake up to that. That's all. There will be a day when you realize that there's nothing out there for you. And now, unfortunately, here's a downside to that. So that now I'm a pastor and I want to do right, but because I did not make wise choices, I have baggage. Am I the only one in this room that's got baggage? You know what that baggage does? So here's Jake. Jake, how old are you? 20. I don't know Jake's testimony, but I would say this. He probably hasn't lived long enough to be exactly where I was. Got a lot of hope in that young man. He may blow it tomorrow. I got a lot of hope in him. You know why? I really believe this stuff works. And I believe it can keep you guys safe.
Amen.
If you'll just listen.
Amen.
I wasn't always safe. So all I can talk to you is out of pain. But I can look at a young kid and say, man, don't do that. Run. Make good choices. Live for him. And if Jake will do that, or any other young person, I really believe you'd outpreach me 6 Sundays to 1. I'm just looking for that. I'm just looking for the next generation. Because you know what I got to do, and what Mike's got to do, and what Greg's got to do, and what Arnold's got to do? We got our suitcases of bad decisions, and I'm stuck with it till I die. So one minute while I'm fighting the devil with this hand, I got to hold on to this. I don't have 2 free hands, Hunter. What would happen if we could have young people with 2 free hands and go after the enemy? What would happen if we could do that? That's what I want. I would be so proud to get up and hear, and I'd be so proud for some 26-year-old guy to come in here and preach the roof on this place. I mean, the place flooded with people, revival happened, and saying, man, I would step down in a second and let somebody like that take off for Jesus. Because our world needs to see what it's like to not have all this stuff. Now, look, I know God uses me because of his grace. But I believe there's more out there. For any of you that say, I'm not going back there. I'm not going to make Jesus come get me out of that mess again. And some of you young ones say, you got saved. Don't ever let him find you there. Do you know that's possible? It makes me so sad when people say, well, that's what they all do. No. Not everybody's got to wreck their life. Not everybody's got to cry because of past sin that you're so stupid about. Not everybody's got to do that. Not everybody's got to have a suitcase full of garbage. You don't have to do that. You can make wise choices. Now, you know you don't have to get drunk to understand that that's probably something you shouldn't have to do. You don't have to do that. I mean, that's not part of what God says. Okay, well, let me go get you all drunk. And then maybe you understand, don't do that. I don't need to make you taste the filth of this world to let you understand it's filthy. I've tasted it. You don't want that. Why would you want to say, why would I lie to you, by the way? Why would Mike lie to you? Why would Arnold, why would Wendell, why would we get up here and lie to you and say, that's bad, and really it's just a hoot? I mean, there's weekends of fun out there. Why would we do that? We wouldn't do that. There is nothing out there that you want at all. And all of the messages, I thought, maybe if you just won't forget Gomer, and you'll go home tonight and you'll snuggle up in the safety and the arms of Jesus Christ, having never had to be pulled out of a pig pen and never let go, maybe there's a chance for the next generation. For those of us that have been there, it's a reminder to know, I hope I never go back, but I'm glad Jesus knows the way. You don't have, it would be better just never to go. If you're there tonight and you find yourself, you know, I preached in churches before, and, you know, afterwards comes somebody to come and tell me, hey, you know, there's some things that I'm doing. I'm preaching to crowds big enough to know that at some point there's probably somebody in that crowd texting somebody they shouldn't, talking about something they shouldn't, being in a place they shouldn't. Whether you're married or not married, making bad decisions on a daily basis, all you got to do is just think about this. Look at the pain there and look at that and just simply walk away from it and get back over here. That's all you got to do. Because the longer you stay here, you're about ready to unleash a hurt that is so painful you can't even imagine. And God don't want you having to go through that. He wants you over there with him. So when we go home tonight, let's not forget Gomer, if you will. Let's stand. And I think what we'll do tonight is just have just a little bit of, we won't have a piano player or anything like that. And maybe we can just do this in your pew. But I'm going to ask Arnold, and I'm going to ask Wendell Cecil, and I'm going to ask Greg. And would you three men close this out, and Wendell, if you'll go first, and Arnold and Greg. And what I want you guys to do, and maybe we just pray with them.